worship you. There's none that can compare with you. You are the Ancient of Days. You are the ageless, changeless, dieless God. Father, we worship your majesty. Ancient of Days, we adore you. King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we magnify your name. Father, we thank you. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' wonderful name, we have worshipped. Somebody help me give Jesus a big clap and a shout of praise. And then you may be seated in heavenly places in the name of Jesus. I'd like to welcome every one of us to the first session, the first evening rally of our 2020 Kingdom Power and Glory World Conference. Let's give Jesus a big clap and a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Father, we give you all the glory and the praise. We magnify your precious holy name. We ask that you breathe upon the immutability of your counsel this night. Breathe on your word and speak to us, minister God of life and destiny. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Somebody say a loud amen. Hallelujah. I have the privilege and this evening to share with you briefly on the theme of tonight's Singles and Married Seminar. This is a special convention edition for the 2020 convention. And we're looking at assessing your marital and family heritage. Assessing your marital and your family heritage. Let's open our Bibles to Acts chapter 16 and verse 25 and 26. I'll be addressing basically the singles, those who are single currently, single again, have never been married, or single again for whatever reason, and then we're addressing the married people. It might not typically appear like, you know, the basic teachings in relationship meetings, but we want to be able to see how to access our heritage maritally, family wise in God. Acts 16, let's read from verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and every man's bands were loosed. The Lord bless the reading of his word in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to thank God that tonight, and by time we're through, everything that has been a challenge in your marital destiny, in your family destiny, shall be arrested and terminated today in the name of Jesus Christ. The first thing we want to look at is at midnight. At midnight. Point number one, at midnight. What do I mean by at midnight? You might be seated here today as a single person, and it looks like you are in the midnight of your life. In the midnight situation of your life and destiny, it looks to you like the years are running, your age is not reducing, the biological clock is not taking any cognizance of the fact that you are not yet married, and maybe some level of panic seems to have set in. At midnight, the Bible tells us that Paul and Silas prayed. We're going to look at what to do. And we'll be looking at 5 points today. Our objective today is to see what to do to get out of where we are, and then what to do as married couples for us to be in the place of God's design and God's plan for our marital destinies. At midnight, the situation might be dark, but the first point, A, we want to see is that the darkest hour of the night is just before dawn. The darkest hour of the night is just before dawn. Now might look like things are just not right. No man is saying hello. No man is even greeting you. Not to talk of special greeting. They have neither said, hello sister, how are you? Not to talk of, hello sister, can I marry you? And you seem totally despondent. Maybe as a man, you've spoken to a few ladies and they always turn you down. Or something just happens along the line. Beloved, I As dark as it may seem now, I want to give you the assurance that your day is about to break in the name of Jesus. Your day is about to break in the name of Jesus. Your turnaround is about the corner in the name of Jesus. When you think you have reached the end, don't forget, it is only a bend. You are about to go out and move forward and enter into God's plan and purpose for your life in the name of Jesus. During this dark time, when it looks all bleak, beloved, this is not time to give up. This is not time to throw in the towel, because the victory is around the corner. Number B, B point is, when all hope humanly is gone, that is when to turn to God. Maybe you are single again because a husband walked out on you, or the marriage just is not working, and you have gone your separate ways or separated for a season. I want you to know that this is the time when only God can do what needs to be done. Maybe you are completely fed up of that relationship. But take a little minute more. Take a little time more to ask God, Father, show me the way forward. Maybe as a single lady, something has been holding you down. When the men come, you drive them away with your behavior. You drive them away with your character. Maybe you are still being highly choosy. Oh yes, it's important to be very careful with your choices. You cannot marry out of frustration and marry the wrong person. But as much as that is, as much as all the facts are in place, do we say facts and figures are in place? But as much as all the facts are in place, take your time again to pray and ask God, do I go ahead with this? Is this man a man that I can love and respect? Very important. Can I look up to him? Will I be able to say yes, sir, to him? Will I be able to follow his lead? Will I be able to submit to his instructions? Maybe his finances is not all that rosy, but does he have something he's doing? Is he able at least to feed himself? Will he be able to feed you? These are facts you must put in place. Does he look like somebody that has a vision for the future? Does he know where he's going? Does he know what he's doing? These are important things that you must find out. These are important things that you must take cognizance of. You must take note of. And if these things is in place, he might not be 6'5", or he might not be fair, or he might not be dark. He might not have a game or a what are those things that are tripping ladies these days? He might not be what? Or he might not have a Lexus Jeep yet. But by all means, are the basic requirements in place? Beloved sisters, I believe that the Lord shall give us direction in the name of Jesus Christ. Point number two, the key of prayer turns things around. The key of prayer turns things around. We have seen that you might be in the darkest hour of your night. You might be in the most hopeless situation of your life. But take note of the fact that prayer turns things around. The key of prayer turns things around. Point number A. To pray is to call on God. To pray is to express your helplessness and your hopelessness to God. Anytime we don't pray, we are proving to God and we are proving to ourselves that we can do without his help. But when you turn to God, I want you to know that God is an amazing answerer of prayers. Even the things that look most trivial and most irrelevant and most insignificant, if we can bring them to God, he is able to do it for us. You might say, oh, I've been praying. I'm even in prayer band. I've been praying about this marriage thing now. What else is my prayer point in the morning? Beloved, pray it again. Add hope to the prayer. Is that not what we've been hearing this month being taught to us? Add faith to the prayer. Add joy to the prayer. Don't come to God with complaints. God, me, I don't know what I did. Oh, all my sisters have married. Even my junior brothers have married. Here I am. What did I do? What offense did I commit? God, tell me. Oh, you better tell me. Oh, so that I can repent. We don't come to Him grumbling. We don't come to Him with complaint. You get into the scriptures and you itemize what the scriptures have promised you. And then you present it to God. Father, your word says, you made them male and female. I am the female. Where is my male? I am the male. Where is my female? Father, Lord God, you said that none shall want her mate. Lord, here I am. Your word says I shall not want my mate. I should not be looking for who is to come to marry me. He is supposed to be looking for me. Anywhere he is, oh God. Father, let him see me. You come to him with his word. You present his word to him. And then you make demands. You prayed before, pray again. You prayed before, pray again. You prayed before, pray one more time. I believe that God shall answer your prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Point number B, where we said the key of prayer turns things around, is pray in tongues. How many of you were in the service when the senior pastor made that profound statement? He said, when your situation does not seem to make sense, don't bother praying in sense, pray in tongues. When your situation doesn't make sense, don't pray in sense, pray in tongues. You don't know what to pray again. Just turn it into a tongue session. Have you maybe peradventure decided today I'm going to sit down on this marriage issue and I'm going to pray in tongues uninterrupted straight for the next 2 hours, for the next 3 hours, and then you started and you are praying. Beloved brothers and sisters, before you are through, God will do something and answer you speedily in the name of Jesus. Take time to pray. Pray in tongues. Number three, our third point we want to look at today from that passage is the sacrifice of praise. The Bible tells us that at midnight, Paul and Silas, they did what? They prayed. And then what did they do? They sang praises unto God. They prayed and they sang praises unto God. First point we'd like to take note of there is, when you sing praises to God in a dark hour, in a time when things don't look like what you expect, it is called the sacrifice of praise. It's a sacrifice because it is something that is costing you something to do. You are praising God when you feel like just sitting down and crying your heart out. But here you are, singing, praising, worshiping God, appreciating Him. Beloved sisters, beloved brothers, after this time we are through with this conference, you will take time out and tell God, Father, the next one day, the next 2 days, I'm going to do nothing but pray in tongues and sing praises to you. And I know that this prison door will be open in the name of Jesus. The B point we want to look at there is, when you pray, you seek God, but when you praise, God seeks to bless you. When you just stop at praying, you have sought God, you have called on Him, you have spoken to Him. But when you add your praise, you make demands. You've made demands. But when you add your praise, God looks to see what He can do for you. Our fourth point that I want to look at tonight is the fact that it will happen suddenly. Somebody say, it will happen suddenly. Say louder, amen. It will happen suddenly. Your prayer and your praise has the ability to dismantle your limitation, to dismantle your delay. You might have been going on and on. You've been praying or you've been praising. You're even in choir. It doesn't matter. But when God answers you, he will answer you how? Say it louder. When God answers you, he will answer you how? Suddenly. God is about to turn somebody's story around suddenly. 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 In the name of Jesus Christ. Big point is, it may look slow, but don't worry. It will come. Yes, it may look slow, but don't worry. It will do what? It will come. A young lady testified here two Sundays ago, or last Sunday, and she said, how old? 45? 40, thank you, sir. 40 years old, and she had been trusting God to be married, and then, what happened? She decided to worship at Dunamis Church in Lagos, one of the branches in Lagos, attended the service. As she got in, heard the word, encountered God in that place, and then she now had a dream encounter in which God using the face of his servant, appeared to her, and then I think was it that he wiped off her face. He cleaned her face. Whatever cloud was on her face was removed. It was torn off. And then, immediately after that, somebody who had never received a proposal all her life, had never been in any meaningful relationship all her life, it became a problem of choice. God is about to wipe away that disfigurement in your face, and God is about to give you a righteous commotion of choice between who to marry in the name of Jesus Christ. And so, it will come. It may be slow, but it will come. This is the crux of the matter, and then we'll be talking with the couples in a few minutes from now. And that's point number 5. Foundational issues are the cause of most problems. Most problems are a result of foundational issues. Most problems that people encounter are foundational. Many people grow up realizing that there are set patterns in their family lineage. Maybe the women don't marry on time, or they marry on time, but maybe they don't have children on time, or they marry on time, they have children on time, but maybe the women end up being the breadwinners of the family. Maybe they marry somebody and the man was doing very well. As soon as they marry him, he just crashes down to zero. Maybe there are some men, all their brothers, they don't marry on time. Or all their brothers, they marry and they cannot have children on time. Or all of them marry and, you know, their marriages break up. Or whatever. There are cyclical patterns that we see in people's lives. Beloved brothers and sisters, I don't know what the pattern is in your own life and in your own family. After today, that pattern is coming to an end in the name of Jesus. I said that pattern is coming to an end in the name of Jesus. Jehovah shall step into your life, into your destiny, and shall arrest those patterns in the name of Jesus. I stand here in the name of Jesus to take authority over every ancestral curse and generational spell and familial cyclical occurrences maritally in the name of Jesus. Those who are married and their husbands are consistently under pressure, intimidated or afraid of them, and the other way around, wives that are intimidated and afraid of husbands, whatever that pattern is, today I stand on the authority of the word of God and I command its arrest in the name of Jesus. Please take your seat. Point number A under this is the fact that when foundational problems are identified and are arrested, all doors will do what? Will open. Look at that passage we read. Paul and Silas, they prayed and they sang, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and every man's bands were loosed. Beloved brothers and sisters, as these foundations are broken, shaken in the name of Whatever closed your doors from being married today comes to an end. And the B point is that all bands will be loosed. Where they tied you, where they said you can't go forward, where they said you cannot progress, where they said you cannot succeed, today that bondage is arrested. That bondage is arrested and you are set free in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. If there is a believer in the house, you shout aloud, amen. Let's just look at this same passage for us as couples. We know that my faith is that many of you sitting here listening to the sound of my voice are doing very well maritally. Things are very good. Your marriage is sweet. There is no tension. There is no pressure. There are no limitations around you. It can get better. Say amen. And maybe if you are one of those that is in a darkness situation, a midnight situation in your marriage, I want to announce to you that that midnight situation has come to an end in Jesus' name. Maybe it's consistent quarreling and fighting. Maybe it is no children, no fruitfulness after many years of being married. Maybe there are extramarital affairs. Maybe there are issues that has held you down. Today, that situation is coming to an end in the name of Jesus. What are the keys? Number one is to pray. Pray together. Husband and wife, pray together. Pray together. We know that the scriptures tell us that where two or three people might agree upon an issue, it shall be done unto them by our Father which is in heaven. When you pray together in agreement, God answers. But do you know that when husband and wife pray together in agreement, things don't just happen. Things happen speedily. Things happen what? Speedily. And they happen instantly. Can we make it a habit? Can we make it a point after this meeting to take time to pray with each other? It might not be your whole devotion time, but somewhere during that day, can you agree together in prayer? Father, we agree concerning this issue. I've realized that some of our most dramatically, drastically answered prayers for the senior pastor and myself is when we have held hands together to pray. I remember there was a situation of a woman one time, some time ago, who was constantly under a lot of threat in her office, and she was constantly embarrassed and it was so pathetic. And so one day we held hands at midnight, like Paul and Silas, we held hands. It wasn't a long prayer, and we prayed and we agreed. And what was the full details of the prayer? That the person that wanted to disgrace her, let that person be disgraced in the name of Jesus. And let the fight and the limitation on her life and destiny be arrested. You know what happened? That same person that had been antagonizing, when his own disgrace came, it came on national television. The man was sitting watching NTA News and heard his disgrace. There are things you pray that the results are instant. After today, as you pray as a couple, you shall see instant results in the name of Jesus. The second point I'd like to make here is the husband takes the lead. Husband, you are the lead. Prayer-wise, you are the lead. You know the way you say lead pastor or lead engineer or lead soloist or lead instrumentalist or whatever. You do what? You take the lead. You set the pace. You determine the speed. You determine the intensity. Your prayer fire determines your family's prayer fire. Your prayer altar determines your family's prayer altar. Take the lead. Show them what to do. And I tell you something, like it is said, that a family that eats together stays together. In the same way, a family that prays together stays together. I announce to you today, victory, strength, unity is coming the way of your family in the name of Jesus Christ. And as mothers, your responsibility in leading your children in prayer cannot be overemphasized. It is so vital. If your children are still small now, those precious time you spend with them in family devotion early in the morning. These are grounding periods for them. These are periods where life values and principles are ingrained in their lives and in their destinies. The Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is grown, he will not depart from it. Beloved brothers, mothers, take time to spend time praying with your children every morning. It might sound like it's a chore, but it is a chore that is worth it. And you will be amazed that it looks like, you know, it looks so tedious at the younger age. It looks so tedious when they are all small and all around. And it looks like this is an assignment that is forever. But you know, it's so fast how soon they are grown and how soon you don't have that privilege of that early morning family devotion again. They start going to secondary school, boarding school. They start going off to the university. And then I'm now going to call them from the university and say, come, let's do early morning devotion. So the one you need to do now that you have them with you, ensure that you do it to the best of your ability. And I believe that the Lord shall grant you victory in the name of Jesus Christ. Number two is a sacrifice of praise. Yes, sacrifice of praise. As a couple, praise God together. A, praise God together. We're not talking of how sonorous your voice is or whether you are a minstrel or whatever. You just praise God together. And if all of you in the house cannot put a tune together and cannot keep a key on any key, you can do the thanks and the praise and the appreciation to God in words. Father, today my wife and I, we want to thank you for a new day. Thank you for what you have done for us. Thank you for your supplies, for your provision. That is still praise. When you add music and you add tunes to it, is when it becomes a song of praise. So there's no excuse of I'm not a singer or I'm not a musician. There is still the opportunity to praise God together as a family. Your praise determines your raise. The more you praise, the more God raises you. The more you are praiseful, the more riseful you are in life and in destiny, in the name of Jesus. Point number B is, we've talked about praising God. As husband and wife, praise yourselves. Praise each other. Say nice things to each other. Say good things to each other. If your wife has cooked you well or has done something well, say thank you. When your husband pays children's school fees, say thank you. If he brings money home for you to use and cook food, say thank you. What a wonderful husband you are. I appreciate your efforts. I see you laboring and I want to appreciate you for what you do. Many of us praise people and say nice things to people outside. And then we come home and our jerry can of praise is already empty. Please reserve some praise for your wife, for your husband, for your children, for your family. Come back and let them know that you value what they do for you. Come back and let them know. You'll be amazed at what it will do in your home. Maybe you can decide to say, every day I will say one good word to my husband. I will say one good word to my wife. I will appreciate him for one thing. I will appreciate her for one thing. Can we do it as an assignment so that next month when we come back for this meeting, we'll be able to give ourselves an evaluation of the results of praising our husband or our wife for 1 month consistent? Can we give it a try? Can you write it on your action points, on your notes? Praise the Lord. I believe that we'll be back with amazing testimonies in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't come back home with a tank empty of praise. Come back with some still remaining for your loved ones in the name of Jesus Christ. Point number three. Let your change be gradual or be sudden. Let your change or your improvement, let me put it that way, in your home, in your marriage, let it be gradual or you can make it sudden. What do I mean by this? Let's learn gradually to grow into each other, to grow and to learn about each other. Nobody can know everything in one day. If you are going to be diligent, you will be able to know what are the things your husband likes. What are the things your wife likes? What are the kinds of ways you behave that your husband is happy? What are the kind of ways you behave that your wife is sad? What are those things? Take a note of it and then walk around it. Ensure that if you have been, your husband corrects you on something today, see what you can do to make sure that you don't make it a consistent, repeated episode on another occasion. Learn to grow into each other. And secondly, learn to understand each other. Be the one that knows your husband the best. Be the one that knows your wife the best. Be able to look at his face and know what he is thinking or what he's trying to say. Be able to look at her face and know what is going on in her mind. Oh yes, you can be a mind reader if you are a good husband or if you are a good wife. You might say, that's impossible, that's difficult. No, just make the effort. Make the effort. Now, as I was just speaking, it's not in my notes, but I just remembered, there was a day the senior pastor was doing a certain recording and he had finished. The recording was, by all intents and purposes, it was very good. We all enjoyed it. And we finished. The technical people were packing up their cameras and packing up their things and were about to leave. And I looked. I said, sir, do you want to do it again? He said, no, time, no. I said, are you sure? It looks like you need to do it again. Are you sure you don't want to do it again? He hesitated a little and then decided, okay, let's do it. He's always so considerate of people that walk around him. Say, are you people okay? Are you not tired? And everybody said, no, they are ready to do it again. So we started afresh. When he finished, you could see the difference in his countenance and in his disposition. And the people that were there said, wow, this is, sir, what did you call it? You gave it a name. You can't remember. Well, he said that there's something, the ability to read the face of your husband or something like that. Whatever it was. But the point was, even he delivered more powerfully by all intents and purposes. And we all were happier for it. Sometimes, even your learning to understand your spouse helps you and helps your spouse also in whatever it is that you are doing. So it's important that we learn to understand each other.
Yes, it was the gift of discernment of spirit different from discernment of husband.
Thank you, sir. Discernment of husband. So today I prophesy to you the gift of discernment of husband. And the gift of discernment of wife. Did somebody receive that gift? So shall it be in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. And so, I believe God that it will help us a great deal and it will move us forward in our relationships in the name of Jesus Christ. And fourthly, today, we are going to trust God that all foundational issues in our lives, in our marriages, will be broken in the name of Jesus. And foundational issues, both physical foundational issues, like wrong marital foundations, will be broken today in the name of Jesus. Foundational issues like ancestral curses will be broken today in the name of Jesus. Foundational issues like somebody that your husband was going to marry and he talked to her and then he didn't and then she said she's placing curse or the girl the other way around. Every such curse that has been placed on any life here is arrested in the name of Jesus. I announce to somebody today, every soul tie that is following you and has held you down is arrested in the name of Jesus. Today, you are living here free from foundational issues, free from limitations. If you are a believer, jump over your feet with a shout of hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. Father, we worship you. Father, we magnify your name. Blessed be your name, O Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. I have 5 minutes remaining, and I'd like to pray for somebody tonight who wants to say, Pastor, I want to be born again. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want him to wash away my sins. I've had issues in the foundation of my life that I want God to take away. I want God to make me his or her child. Anywhere you are, I'd like you to step forward here, and I'll be praying with you in a minute, and then we are all on our seats, going to lift up our hands, and I'm going to lead us in covenant renouncements. If there are ancestral curses, anti-marital spells, anti-fruitfulness spells, spells of limitation, spells that say the women can marry, the men can marry, but their homes will not be sweet, their marriages will not be good, any such curse, today we take authority over it in the name of Jesus. Every basic lack of wisdom, lack of ability to talk well, lack of ability to articulate, lack of ability to express yourself, today we take authority over it. We'll be taking authority over it in Jesus' name. You'd like me to pray for you? You'd like to be born again? Anywhere you are, anywhere you are, pick your Bibles and pick your bag and step forward here.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you. Come on. Every breath that I take, every moment of my life,
have your way, Lord.
Have your way.
Everybody say,
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live with you alone. I live for you. I live
for you. Every step that I
take. Every step that I take.
Every moment of my evening. Every moment, every moment.
Congratulate those of you that are out here tonight. I know definitely that you are not the worst sinner, but you're definitely the most sincere. And you want Jesus to be the Lord of your life tonight. Pray this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. Tonight, I ask that you forgive me all my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Wash away my sins. Make me a new person. Today, I turn my back on sin. I will live to please the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray for you tonight and I break the yoke of sin from your life in the name of Jesus. And I declare the hand of God goes to work upon your life in Jesus' precious name. Amen. While you still remain here, the counselors will be talking with you in a minute. But I'd like all of us to lift up our hands and pray as we break and renounce and refuse foundational issues in our lives tonight. Say after me, Lord Jesus, thank you because I'm your child. I come to you tonight. I stand on the authority of your word. And I declare that every foundational issue that has plagued my life be arrested today in the name of Jesus. Every anti-marital spell, I renounce you now. I refuse you now. Every spell of delay in marriage or being married and not having successful marriages, I renounce you now. The spell of not having children, I renounce you now in the name of Jesus. The spell of polygamy that ran in my father's lineage, today I refuse you. The spell of polyandry, I refuse you. The spell of promiscuity, I refuse you. Every satanic yoke on my life, I discard. disconnect myself from you. I set myself free from you. In the name of Jesus, barrenness fell. I renounce you. I denounce you. I disconnect myself from you. I set myself free in the name of Jesus. Every reprisal attack, every negative soul wish and soulish prayer against my marital destiny, I refuse you now. Every spirit at work in my life that says I should not have a successful home, today I refuse you in the name of Jesus. I receive my liberty now. I am now free in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands as I pray for all of us. Father, in the name of Jesus, I stand on the authority of your word tonight, and I break every yoke that has ever walked on any of these lives. In the name of Jesus, I declare liberty for these precious ones. In the name of Jesus, your freedom is established today. In the name of Jesus. Let's receive the senior pastor tonight as he takes us.
Father, we give you the praise. Has somebody been blessed tonight at all? Are you blessed? Give the King of Kings and Lord of Lords the praise as you take your seat in the presence of the Lord. If we take another 30 minutes, we will look at a few things that will help our lives. Lift your right hand and give him the praise. Do something new in my life. Something new in my life. Something new in my life. Oh, Lord. Something new. Do something new in my life. Something new. In my life, something new. In my life, oh, do something new. Do something new. In my life, something new. In my life, something new. Oh, something new, do something new in my life. Something new, my love. Something new in my life. Father, we thank you one more time for the liberty in the spirit. For the first word we received, thank you for this second word. We ask that you will let us access into our heritage in God. Blessed be your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody say amen. Accessing your marital and family heritage. This may be part two if the first message was one. Accessing your marital and family heritage. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." The Lord bless his word in Jesus' precious name. Our objective tonight is twofold. First of all, we are going to understand our marital and family heritage in God. What belongs to us family-wise, marital wise and family wise in God. Number two, we are going to understand what it takes to access that heritage. I like us to understand that knowledge, first of all, is key to success. Anywhere you see somebody succeeding, there is something they know. When people write exams, some pass, some failed. It wasn't because they didn't attend the same lecture. It's because they didn't understand to the point of knowing what was taught equally. Knowledge is key to success. Number two, knowledge is key to new edge. The word knowledge is a combination of two words. Know plus edge equals knowledge. So what you know leads to the edge you have. If you see anyone who has an edge over others, there is something he knows that others don't know. Thirdly, knowledge is key to liberty. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Any area where you must experience freedom, in that area, there is something you must know. Anything you claim to know that has not produced freedom is proof that you don't know it yet. The authentic proof of knowledge is freedom. So please, the things you will be knowing tonight, they carry liberating capacity. I wrote something in the morning. If you read our Facebook blessing for the week, first of all, we said, what is not revealed to you is not released for you. Because the things that are revealed are the things that belong to us. What is not revealed to you is not released for you. Then we also said, what is not discovered by you is not delivered to you. And then we said, what is not pursued by you is not possessed by you. If it is not revealed to you, it is not released for you. If it is not discovered by you, it is not delivered to you. And if it is not pursued by you, it is not possessed by you. So, stepping into marriage and into family, what is it that belongs to you that you must know? What is your marital and family heritage as a child of God? Number one is called marital settlement. It is your inheritance to be maritally settled. As a child of God, you are not permitted to be begging to be married. You are not permitted to be begging to be married. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and male created he them. Female and female created he them. That is a knockout blow on lesbianism. Knockout blow on homosexuality. Male and male created in them. Female and female created in them. Adam and Steve. Eve and Evelyn. He didn't create Adam and Steve. It's Adam and Eve. It's not Eve and Evelyn. It's Adam and Eve. Male and female. So, provided you are a female, you are entitled to a male. And provided you are a male, you are entitled to a female. It's not a prayer point. Adam did not pray to ask for a wife. Eve did not pray to struggle for a husband. You must understand this. Let it become a knockout blow on the spirit of desperation, the spirit of despondency, the spirit of hopelessness, and on every antimarital curse, and on every agenda of the devil in your family and in your life that says you must be tied down and not be married. He made them male and female. The woman of God quoted this, Isaiah chapter 34, verse 16. Isaiah 34 and in verse 16. Seek out the book of the Lord and read it. None of these shall fail, and none shall want her mate. He's talking to women. None shall want her mate. For my mouth it has commanded, and his spirit has gathered them. None shall want her mate. You have been created a woman, a man. None shall want her mate. Proverbs chapter. Alright. Psalm 84 verse 11. It says, For the Lord God is sun and shield. It's a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing. Provided it can be called a good thing. He said God will not hold it back. Proverbs 18:22 showed us one of those good things. One of those. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth what? No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And he that findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. The Lord is sun and shield. He will give grace and glory. He will not withhold wife from them who walk uprightly. Because equate no good thing. Anywhere you see no good thing, you can put wife or husband. Is God speaking to somebody here? Marital settlement. Struggleless, effortless stepping into marriage is your heritage. Effortless stepping into marriage is your heritage. What is your marital and family heritage as a child of God? Number one is marital settlement. Number two, quality spouse. Quality wife, quality husband. Not just anyhow husband. Not just anyhow wife. Not just let me just marry so that people can say I'm also married. Proverbs chapter 19 verse 14. Proverbs 19:14. He said, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers. And a prudent wife, that is including a quality husband, is from the Lord. Your father and your mother can live for you houses. But what God can give you is the gift of a quality wife. Is the gift of a quality husband. Now, wherever you see you that findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. You can also, it can also be you that findeth a husband, findeth a good thing. And look, a prudent wife is from the Lord, can also be a quality husband is from the Lord. Because scripture says, what I say to one, I say to all.
The Lord is no respecter of persons. What he's saying to the men, he's also saying to the women. If he can give you a quality wife that comes from the Lord, then he can give a quality husband that also comes from the Lord. Am I communicating at all? Provided you will allow him to give you. Look at your neighbor, say, allow him to give you. Because it is possible you give yourself a husband. It's possible you give yourself a wife. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Provided you are. He said, a prudent wife is from the Lord, not from your heart, not from your eyes. A quality husband is from the Lord. You know, I saw something that I never saw before. I don't know how Abraham married Sarah. I don't know. But I know he was married to Sarah before we knew him. And they were both married before we heard that God called him. So nobody knows. Maybe he made a choice. I know how Jacob married. He saw a fine girl and he started crying. Is this beauty? No prayer was offered. Can this be the will of God? Is this a wife meant for me? Not a dime of prayer. Is cry the normal response? He started crying first. When he came down, he said, which girl is this? I want to follow you to your father's house. And he announced his dowry himself. I want to labor for 7 years. Hard labor. 7 years. If I can marry this girl. Is that how everybody marry? Then when he labored for 7 years, they deny him the wife. And arranged another person. They said junior must not marry before senior. They packaged Leah for him. And his mind was so upside down. He was with the wrong woman till morning. He wasn't aware. When he realized and told the father said, it is too late. Leah is a fixed deposit. And you want the 7 years labor you have labored is for Leah. If you want Rachel, labor another 7 years. 40 years hard labor. To marry a woman who stole her father's idol and died on the road while giving birth to Benjamin. We'll leave that for another day. That was how Jacob married. And you can understand the turbulence of Jacob's life. Jacob later on married the servants, house girls of his two wives. Later on, with all manner of turbulence. You know Abraham's own story. One person was the one for whom prayer was offered before he got his wife. That was Isaac. When Abraham sent his servant and said, go and get my son a wife. Go back to my father's people. And that is in the spiritual sense, go to the covenant lineage. In the spiritual sense, go to the house of the Lord. The man stood on the road and prayed first. Lord, I stand at this junction. And I am praying. Genesis chapter 24, verse 12. Oh Lord, God of my master Abraham, I pray you, send me good speed this day. Show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Let it come to pass that the girl that I will say, let down your pitcher, I beg you, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give your camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that you have showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass before. That was prayer before finding who to marry. This one, it was even a prayer on his behalf. And before he finished speaking, Rebecca came. Long story made short.
some of the finest marriages in that Old Testament was Isaac and Rebecca. In Isaac and Rebecca, there was no Ishmael's mother, what's her name? No Hagar involved. There was no handmaidens of the housewives involved. It was Isaac and Rebecca. Rebecca and Isaac. When Abraham, when Sarah left, almost at the age of 130, Abraham looked for another wife. For Isaac and Rebecca, the passage of Rebecca was the close of the chapter for him. Isaac was so passionate with Rebecca that they would catch them playing in public places. They saw them sporting with each other. Genesis chapter 25 verse 20. It was a harmonious home. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebecca to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Paddan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. All right, verse 8 of Genesis 26. All right. In that place, you saw Isaac praying passionately for his wife to be pregnant. He said, Isaac entreated the Lord because Rebecca was barren. And the Lord heard him. Today, men blame their wives for being barren, not Isaac. Isaac prayed until God heard him, not Rebecca. And in Genesis chapter 26 and in verse 8, the people, it came to pass when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebecca, his wife. That is King James English. Can you look at it in the Living Bible version or New Living Translation? That word sporting. This one is too raw. Go to the New Living Translation. New Living Translation. He said, there was another one that said that they were. Alright, this one is even too rugged too. Alright, you understand what they were doing. He was playing with it. That is, the house was not enough. It's like, honey, how now? I miss you. Uncle, come. Okay, you're too wrong. Uncle, come. This uncle. Quickly. How are you now?
I'm fine.
I miss you, baby.
Yeah.
Just so happy.
Oh, yes.
It's been a long time.
Yes.
Are you okay? Yes. I like this, your hair, man. In the open space, house was not enough. That was the level of Rebecca and Isaac. He didn't pick himself. He didn't find by the roadside. Heaven brought her. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? That is part of the inheritance you have in God. Quality spouse. Good men are rare, but they're day. Them day. Good women are rare, but they are plenty. For bad men, you don't need to look far to find them. And for bad women, you don't need any struggle. The only thing you need to do to find them, don't pray. Master settlement, your heritage number one, quality spouse, quality wife, quality husband. Your heritage number two, number three, is marital fruitfulness.
You don't beg to have children. It's not a fasting prayer matter, except the devil wants to put your faith on the line like Isaac, and then he prayed. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, the Bible says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the face of the earth. Under God, fruitfulness, children, is your inheritance. There are people who are worried about giving birth to children who are not even married yet. That is a waste of emotion. That is a waste of thought. Maybe they have told you have low sperm count already, or they told you have blood fallopian tubes, or they told you have this or you have that. Marital fruitfulness. Psalm 127 verse 3 to 5. Psalm 127 verse 3 to 5. Psalm 127 verse 3 to 5. It said, happy is the man. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. You see, inheritance. They are your inheritance from God. Children are your inheritance. What God gives you as his inheritance for you. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so are children of youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the day. Lord, is part of my inheritance in you to have children. One thing about revelation is his ability to terminate affliction. It's possible you have been in some situations and you have prayed and prayed, but one light just comes and then terminates the affliction. One thing about the light is his capacity to knock out the night. Marital fruitfulness. Psalm 113, or so 113 verse 9. Psalm 113 verse 9. Psalm 113 verse 9. He said, he maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and also to end as a joyful mother of children. That is, he will ensure you don't lose your home because of barrenness. He is the one who gave the law. You don't lose your home because of barrenness. So I prophesy tonight, in the name that is above every name, everything that is causing you to try to lose your home because of barrenness, childlessness, or whatever it is, that yoke is broken. In the name of Jesus. Is anybody getting anything tonight? Are you receiving anything tonight? All right. Number 4. Heritage. Marital and family heritage is 4. Quality and successful offsprings. Quality and successful offsprings. It is your inheritance in God, not just to give birth to children, but qualitative children. Not just to give birth to children, but successful children. Not just to give birth to children, but children that are not liabilities. Children that are not reproaches. Children that won't bring you shame. And won't bring shame to the name of God. Psalm 112:1. It said, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed,
his children
shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. His seed cannot be scanty. His seed cannot be riffraffs. His seed cannot be criminals. His seed cannot be armed robbers. His seed cannot be prostitutes. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright
shall be blessed. Ay, 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 ay. This is true. This is true. Very, very true. I have seen the lineage and generation of the upright. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, David, Solomon, Rehoboam, Hezekiah, King Asa, Jehoshaphat. All those important names you are hearing are from the lineage of the godly. Am I communicating at all? Our children must have three things working for them: spirituality, integrity, mentality. Highly brainy, high character, very spiritual, very deep. Somebody say amen. No devil is permitted to spoil your children.
No devil is permitted to distract and destroy your seed. No devil is permitted to destroy your generation. You believe that, shout the loudest, amen.
Many years ago, one of the children of the righteous, if they are getting him set to go to school on Monday in the morning, he will ask those bathing him, when is Friday? That is, when will Friday reach so that it can become weekend? He didn't like school at all. he can take front from the back of the class. That's first. You know, if somebody take first and there are 30 people in the class and he took first from the back, that is, position is what? 30. 30th. But that situation was reversed because it's the seed of the righteous. He shot from the back to the front, became very intelligent, graduated as a lawyer, sharp. Because no matter how desperate the devil tries, the covenant cannot be broken.
Young man is there today. Young man is there. The young man I'm talking about is there today. Married with children. Impacting. There are so many of them like that.
It is your right. Your inheritance. Okay, look at what the Bible said in Isaiah chapter 54 verse 13. Isaiah chapter 54 verse 13. Isaiah 54 13 is saying,
and all your children, all of them, not some of them, all your children shall be taught of the Lord. And grace shall be the peace, not the crisis of your children. All your children shall be taught. Can God teach a person and the person fails? Can God teach anybody and the person is a dullard? Can God teach anybody and that person ends as a criminal?
Great shall be their peace. That is, they have peace, means shalom, serenity, tranquility, equanimity. They are calm, cool, collected. They are not crisis-full children. Look at what he said in Malachi chapter 2. He said, why? Verse 15. Why did he make you man and wife? And why did he make you one? That yet he had this residue of the spirit. And wherefore one, he said, that he might seek a godly seed.
I prophesy to every seed of this assembly, every children of any man, woman, boy, girl, every man or woman associated, connected, related with this unction and with this mantle. I speak peace to your children. I speak quality to your children. I speak excellence on your children. I speak calmness on your children. There shall be no wayward child. There shall be no troublesome child. There shall be no distracted child. In the name of Jesus. And everyone that is currently distracted, I command them rescued now.
Take your seat. Quality and successful offspring. Number 5, marital harmony and dignity. Where the two are indeed one. Marital harmony, marital dignity, marital beauty.
Where people see your home and they desire a home. See your wife and they desire a wife. See your husband, they desire a husband. They desire a marriage. I've met children that don't want to marry at all. One woman told me, with her 4 children, kicked out of the house by her husband. I was talking to a woman the other day. How terrible the man behaved. So terrible the man behaved. He doesn't know the children. They are grown up now. He doesn't know the children. Almost killed the woman. And then scattered her out. I said, what is the name of the man? What kind of man is that? What is the name? He said, I'm sorry, sir. The man is bearing the same name like you are bearing. He said, I'm very sorry. He said, but that one is Saul, not Paul. It's Saul. He said, that one is Saul. He said, that one is the Saul. It's the Saul, not, it cannot be Paul. Saul of Tarsus. Take your seat.
I saw another one. The little girl, there about 13 or 14, is almost vowing that she will never marry.
Terrible. Men are terrible.
And the mother said, men are not terrible. Look at our pastor. Isn't he a good man? Say, that one is different. Say, okay. Trust God for that kind of man.
Marital harmony. Dignity is your inheritance. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. That is called marital harmony. Genesis chapter 3 verse 23. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones. Okay, I'm flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. That is harmony. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.
Harmony. 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 Matthew chapter 19 verse 5. Matthew chapter 19 verse 5. And he said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twin shall be one flesh. Harmony. Wherefore they are no more one, no more twin, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Harmony. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 31 to 32. Ephesians 5, 31 to 32. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Harmony. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 8 and then 9a. 9:8. Let your garment be always white, and let your head lack no ointment. Rejoice, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity. That's the days of this empty life we have on the earth. Live joyfully so it is possible. Marital harmony, marital dignity is a possibility, and it is our inheritance. That is the plan from the beginning, and it is workable. Somebody say a loud amen. Heritage number 6 is marital and family productivity and prosperity. Marital / family productivity and prosperity. That is,
wife entered into your life as a blessing, not a curse. A husband enters into your life as a blessing, not a curse. For the devil to say, since you married, everything went down, that devil is a bastard. I was succeeding before I met that girl. Something went wrong somewhere. Something went wrong somewhere. I was succeeding before I met that man. Something went wrong somewhere. And God cursed them. Is that what the Bible said? Genesis 1:28. And God cursed them. And God said, be fruitless. Diminish. Disappear from the earth. Is that what he said? Reverend Father, is that what he said? Disappear from the earth. No. And God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish. God bless them. You make up your mind. I am married, and the marriage attracts the blessing, not the curse. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 9. It said, two are better than one. Two are better than one. Because they have a good reward for their labor. Two are better. 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 They are not worse. They are better. I am saying this for every home today that is suffering any form of strange poverty, strange scarcity, strange empty-handedness. Two are better. I stepped into the service this evening and someone sent me a message and I wanted to read that message because it is a confirmation of somebody say, I am better in marriage, and no devil can say otherwise. I am better in marriage. 1,000 times better. Now, see, he said, our daddy and our prophet, good evening, sir. We are truly overwhelmed at what God is doing in our lives. Exactly 1 year ago, we moved to Abuja, and less than 1 month, you gave us a 3 days fast and prayed for us on the altar. And after a contact with you yesterday with my wife, today God has just blessed us with a whooping contract of over 300 million. To God be the highest praise, because it is good to serve Him faithfully. He said, please share this testimony before we see you. God bless you, sir. It pays to serve Jesus. I speak from my heart. It pays. It pays. Marital, family productivity. If you do it well, whatever you are doing as a man and as a woman is designed to explode. Having said all of that, this is your heritage. How do you access the heritage? Your heritage, marital settlement, quality spouse, that's wife or husband, marital fruitfulness, quality and successful offsprings, marital harmony and dignity, marital and family productivity and prosperity. What is your access? Number one, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. Be a passionate lover of God. Seek God first. I've said it so many times. I know of myself that I was busy in the assignment of the Lord when God reminded me to start thinking and praying concerning the subject of marriage. I've told you before of some of our contemporaries who put marriage first. They put marriage in front. Marriage was in front.
In fact, I was at a point where somebody so pitied me, like, this one has the person he wants to marry, this one has the person he wants to marry, this one has the person he wants to marry, and this over-spiritual bro Paul doesn't have anybody he wants to marry. He pitied me, so he prophesied somebody for me. He prophesied somebody for me. But the way I'm seeing you, you and sister so-and-so should be marrying or something like that. The sister is not a bad person at all. Highly spiritual sister. But that was not the one meant for me. Because there is one meant for you. It's not everybody you can marry. Assignments differ. Temperaments differ. Attitudinal compositions differ. The way of seeing things differ. Directions differ. Dispositions differ. Predilections differ. Am I communicating? Don't put second things first. Put first things first. Be a passionate seeker of God. And he will pursue you with what others are pursuing. Number two, understudy and understand your heritage in God. Understudy and understand your heritage in God. There is something, was it not Psalm 49 verse 20? Said man that is in honor and knoweth not is like the beast that perish. God has placed an honor. He gave you an inheritance and you are not aware. You just perish for nothing. Understand in best faith. The things we have shared now, dig deep into it. My children are not meant to be wasted. Devil, you are a bastard. I am not meant to be struggling and borrowing and begging to feed my family. The productivity and prosperity is what belongs to me in my heritage. Devil, you are a bastard. You understand and understudy. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard that power belongs to God. Please try. And go and understand what I'm teaching now. Go and understand it twice. Number three, embrace your scriptural responsibilities. Embrace them. Your scriptural responsibilities in God. What is required of you, embrace it. Embrace it. Deuteronomy 28:1-2 says these blessings are coming upon you if you hearken. Let me tell you what I mean. I listened to some of the most horrible stories that I have heard and I hear all the time. And this lady was pouring her heart. Terrible family and marriage situation. One child is almost mad, is literally mad, and is in the asylum or something. Another child is on drugs, on Indian hemp, on things and that. Another child is practicing occultism and those terrible things. Husband doesn't care about all the children. And he's going here and there, one woman or the other. I was so troubled. So I said, can you tell me what is the foundation of your life, your home, your family? She said, it is not right. This situation you are talking about. Did you and the man marry pure? That is, you didn't meet with each other before you married. Say no. Alright? The first child you had, were you pregnant for the child before he married you? He said, in fact, she had pregnancy that she aborted.
before they even started talking of marriage.
Wow. Foundation disaster. Now, this is the worst.
That, and then when they wanted to marry, parents refused. And she eloped, ran
with the man, translocated to another country. Everything wrong.
So husband now is almost mental, locked up with another woman. One child is in asylum, another child is in on drugs, another one is in occult.
Whoosh. Please don't play with scripture. Don't play with God.
Your heritage is only guaranteed when your responsibilities are embraced. He said marriage is honorable in all the bed, undefiled. Honor it. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3. After you marry, you can live with it. You have each other forever. Why hurry into what you are going to have permanently? Am I communicating? Take your seat. Embrace your responsibilities. As much as possible, get parental consent where possible. If there is a struggle with such consent issues, let the pastors know and they can understand and they can advise on what to do. If, for example, mother is resisting because of terrible situations and everything is correct, and there are other elderly figures in the family, it's possible. But let everything, you see, another situation was where this young man is going into a relationship with a young girl on fire for God, is going into a relationship with an unbeliever person, unbelievous person, and the person already will not follow her to church. But she said, the person will change with time. And they are already having a relationship with each other and then eventually got married. And then the man's behavior worsened after marriage. And now you want to pray to which God to come help you here? The God you failed to invite into the journey? The God you failed to involve in the relationship? You are practically on your own. That will never be your portion. Is anybody hearing anything here at all? Embrace your responsibilities. Anything that is required of you as a young girl not yet married, as a young man not yet married, or as somebody who is married now, anything required of you, do it. And then you will access your heritage. Number four, love passionately. You want to see all the things we have said tonight. Love passionately. Passionately. What I mean is, be confirmed to be a good person. You may not be a perfect person, but let your wife confirm that this man is a good man. This woman is a good woman. I tell people, if you see somebody suffering on the road, you don't need to know them before you help them. How much more the one in your house called your wife or your husband? You will never go wrong loving people. You don't go wrong. You don't go wrong. You can do anything too much, but you never love too much. Loving people. Love passionately. Be good to the people of your life. Be good to everyone around you, especially the one that God sent you to. And God is love. And He will cause His Himself to manifest. And finally, number five. Remain highly watchful and spiritual. Highly watchful and spiritual. While you are in courtship planning to marry, be watchful, be spiritual. God will give you signals. He will give you signals. Some woman said, after she got married, she saw the Holy Ghost as a person, stepped out of her body. Just stepped out. And he looked and said, what happened, sir? He said, but I told you not that you have married the wrong person. You have married a disaster. You have married the wrong person. I told you not to. And she couldn't feel the presence of God again. What she is begging today is to feel that presence she had before she married. Because the marriage ended after the man almost killed her. Kill. Be very watchful and highly spiritual. Even in the marital contest. If your marriage is sweet, the devil is angry. No, let me say it the way I like to say it. If your marriage is sweet, the devil is bitter. So be watchful and be spiritual. There are Jezebels and Manzebels. Some people think that it is only women that break homes. There are men who break homes. I have met a young man many years ago who was a specialist in married women. He's not going for single, he's married women. Immorality with married women. The devil anointed him specially for that. Hallelujah. And let me say this as a round off. In case there is a situation around your life or your marriage that is not going well, plead with God. Maybe His mercy can bring a rescue. Maybe you are on the right path, both of you, and suddenly the man got distracted or the other person. Maybe the help of God can come in. I heard this story and I ran off with that. Kenneth Copeland. He said he saw a man who was very brutal to his wife, shout on the wife in public, beat the hell out of her. He will do every terrible thing to the wife. And the wife presented the case to God. Then suddenly, one day, drop your book. He sees the man holding his wife like this, like egg. Ha. The man who will always beat his wife is just, are you okay?
Very okay, sir. Very okay, sir. Okay, thank you, sir.
Just sit. Then somebody curious asked the man, excuse me, sir, what has changed? And he was very humble. He said the man dreamt in the night after the wife and the people have prayed. And he saw God. The way Abimelech saw God. And God said, that girl that you are maltreating is my child. If you touch her another time, you are a dead man.
Stand on your feet with a shout of praise.
No wonder. That afternoon gentleness. What kind of afternoon gentility is this that did not start in the morning? Just hot afternoon, he became gentle. God, he met God. If you touch that woman, it's my daughter. Touch her again, I will kill you. You are a dead man. Prayer works. Pray for that your child. She will not be lost. He will not be lost. Pray for your husband. Pray for your wife. Pray for the work of your hands. And it is well with you. Is somebody blessed tonight? Are you blessed tonight? Remain standing. Let me show you. Early in the morning, I saw a revelation. And I saw someone, like a lady, whose family, nobody gets married.
and it's a spell, anti-marital spell, who took marriage messages and sat on them for 7 days and stepped out of that 7 day and everything broke. Everything broke. I thought it was an ordinary dream until I realized tonight is the marriage seminar. Yes. Then I realized that that is a specific prophetic instruction. As a matter of fact, I told her to come and preach, that I don't need to preach anything today, that she should just preach for and preach marriage, because all I was coming to do was to give that instruction. I don't know where the devil tied your destiny. The word he used, spiritual engagement. Be spiritually engaged for 7 days with word. Spiritual engagement. Be spiritually engaged. Now we have convention for the whole of this week, so this week might not be possible. But maybe the week after convention can be a week where you are taking 7 solid days. Young lady or married young lady, maybe you are married and it's a family setting. Just one moment. Say after me, say, Jesus, I receive the grace to engage spiritually on my family matters, marital matters, until the change comes. Say, in the name of Jesus, I receive the grace. I receive the grace. Jeremiah chapter 30. I will read verse 21. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them. I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engage his heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord? Somebody say, engage. Who is this that engaged his heart? So you have a spiritual engagement that will terminate marital embarrassment for 7 days. A spiritual engagement that will terminate family harassment day and night, day and just on. Mashako kabala karata kashako takala kapraka takashaka takala. Zeko kopaka takala katakakakakakaka. For that sake, I have asked. There is this package here that has a series of message: understanding God's will in marriage, finding and being found, dealing with marital delay, supernatural marriage, next level relationship, measures of true love. There is something worse than being single. I'm sure you know that. That is marrying the wrong person. The glorious marriage journey. A and B. Excellence in marriage. Marital and family rules. Courtship rules. It's loaded in just one CD here. There are many other message materials around here. Books written by Dr. Mr. Nensha. You just load yourself and settle down. And I see a breaking forth of marital testimonies before the 31st of December. Something must break forth on singles' lives, on marital lives. You know one thing about prophetic word? You don't struggle to cause their fulfillment so much. For example, if God shows and says, I can see somebody here with a knee problem on the right knee, that word carried the healing inside. All I don't need to say, in the name of Jesus, knee be healed. All I need to say, move your leg, now it's healed. Because the revelation came with the transmission. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is how this is. That is how what I said I saw overnight. That is how it is. Just align yourself, engage your heart,
And I see your family rescued, your marriage rescued, your brothers, your sisters rescued, your children rescued, your destiny rescued. Lift up your hands and appreciate him now. Go ahead. Give him the praise for what you have received. Lift your hands, lift your voice. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. We give you the worship. The supremacy, the dominion, the rule, the sovereignty. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. Adoration to your name. Thank you. And thank you. In Jesus' precious name. Anybody blessed tonight? I saw them congratulating that person in that dream. They will be congratulating you soon on your marital situation, family situation, destiny situation. They will be congratulating you very, very soon. Lift your hands now. Now, while we lift our hands to pray this prayer, everywhere you are, there was a first altar call. If you didn't come out first and you need to come out now to surrender your life to Christ, please step forward. And going forward, every of these meetings, please invite your friends and loved ones. Even they don't need to be born again. This will be an outreach and evangelistic meeting to singles and married people who don't know God. Invite your friends, invite your loved ones. If you haven't come out for the altar call yet and you need to give your life to Jesus, be born again and be free, quickly step forward here and do so right now. While that is happening, lift up your two hands and say, Father. Just one prayer. Say, Father, I access my marital and family heritage. Say, Father, I access my marital and family heritage. My marital settlement, marital fruitfulness, quality successful offsprings, marital harmony and dignity, marital fruitfulness, productivity, prosperity, family prosperity is my portion. I access everything that belong to me, that belong to my marriage, and belong to my family. I access now. Open your mouth and pray. If you are coming out to hand over your life, go ahead. Jesus. Lift up your hands, everybody. And those of you standing forward, pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come before you today to surrender my life to you. Forgive me my sins. Today is my decision to follow you. No turning back. From today, forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. I declare the hold of the enemy broken. I declare a new day is upon you. In Jesus' precious name. Lift up your hands. Those 7 days you can go on waiting on the Lord alongside. Break lightly. But the critical thing about those 7 days is word immersion. Word immersion. You are immersed in word. Word immersion.
Do you know that during war times, they immerse people, they call something language immersion. Where they are going to war, maybe in Spain or going to war in France, and they immerse some soldiers in the language until within 5 weeks they can speak fluently. A language they have never spoken a word of in their life. Immersion. I heard that from America first. This is word immersion. Until you know clearly the will of God in marriage, when the right wrong person is coming, you know him from afar. When the right person is around, you can smell him around. Or her, as the case may be. And without any doubt, there must be testimonies. Now, every of those heritage announced tonight, I prophesy their release into your life.
In the name of Jesus, everything that is contrary to what you have heard tonight, that the enemy is manifesting in your life, in your family, with your children, and with your loved ones, I declare it is arrested. In the name of Jesus, I prophesy divine encounters overnight that will give you a change of story. And I call it done. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Say the loudest amen.